You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
To laugh, and when the sun is
good
out,
morning, Wisconsin. No, I am not Mr. Pat Krylo. He is off on a little retreat these next couple days. My name is Luke Mathers. I will be with you this morning from 6 until 8 a.m. We're going to have a smattering of excellent fill-in guests as well for Mr. Krylo throughout the week until he is back coming on Friday. But between now and then, you got me, Luke Mathers, here all morning, 6 to 8 a.m. today. We've got Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, coming up next for you on Tuesday morning from 6 to 8. Then, Chad Holmes, host of the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO, is going to be doing a little bit of double duty on Wednesday morning from 6 until 10. You can hear him here across the network from 6 to 8, and then his own show on WXCO from 8 until 10 on Wednesday, and Todd Alba fills out the fill-in between now and Pat's return on Friday. Mr. Alba hosting that program 6 to 8 on Thursday morning. But the through line for all four of us as we are here for Pat is one Mr. Greg Bach down at Radio Park in Racine. Greg, how are we doing on this Monday morning?
I'm good, loyal subjects. I am good, for the Greg Bach has returned. I am the only constant in this world of civic media.
Yep. Everything else is different this week. You got a different host every single day here, where you normally are listening to Up North News every Monday through Friday. You get a different guest host, different host just altogether, though, with Pat coming back on Friday, and an excellent lineup of Civic Media fill-in hosts in Pat's absence. But Mr. Bach, I wanted to call it Bach and not the Doc, but unfortunately, we are going to be joined by Dr. Kristen. Well, not unfortunately. Unfortunately for the naming aspect, but terrifically for us.
Yes,
we're going to be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up at 6:30 this morning, catching up on the weekend's headlines with the doctor as well. She'll be sticking around for some of the fun today in history. So today's history lesson will be joined by Dr. Lyerly. And then we've got another great guest coming up as well to kick off our second hour. We're going to be joined by Main Street Alliance's Sean Fetaplace and one of their members, Corrine Hendrickson, who is a early childhood educator. Both Sean and Corrine heading east to go to Washington, D.C. this week for some lobbying around the upcoming budget. We already saw the U.S. Senate was voting last week on a number of packages when it comes to the budgeting process that is getting underway for the upcoming tax fight. We know that the House, the GOP-led House, is going to begin their votes later this week. So we see a number of different small business members and advocates for Main Streets around the state of Wisconsin and around the country heading to Washington, D.C. to advocate for fair tax policy. So really excited for that conversation coming up at 7 a.m. this morning with both Sean and Corrine around the tax fight that is shaping up in Washington. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And we've got an exciting sports anniversary this past weekend. So we're going to touch on that in today's history lesson and then want to hear from you what your all-time favorite sports movie is. Because there's a really good one, and I can't wait to share the clip. It gets me excited every time I hear it, and it was a pretty big anniversary for it over this past weekend. So Greg and I will be diving into that coming up at 7:30. But Mr. Bach, how was your weekend? How were you these past couple days?
My weekend was good. I worked all weekend. That's the thing I do, except for yesterday. Yesterday was a day off, which was lovely. I guess I didn't work all weekend. That was a huge lie. Huge lie, Luke.
I just had to catch up on it. You're like, wait, no, yeah. In fact, I did not.
Sometimes I do work on Sundays. I'm like, nope, file it away. No, I did not work yesterday. But there was stuff to do. There were errands to be run. But it was a nice weekend. You know, we only had a couple shows at the Tap this weekend. They were really, really cool. Got to hang out with my buddy Jim Santel on Saturday and produce his show, Amicus Alar Review, which is on every single Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. And
terrific job, by the way. I heard both of you on the airwaves.
Yeah.
That I was finishing the work. I try every, my wife likes a workout class here at the Y. We're members at the Y. There's an early Saturday morning workout class.
Yeah.
And the guilt is strong if I do not also get up and go. So I have done this was something we she wanted to start doing in the new year. It was a new class schedule.
Yeah.
Except for the two Saturdays that we were gone on vacation. We've been to the Y every single Saturday morning, early class, and I've been working on. We're gonna take the dogs on a 5K.
Oh boy!
Later, in May, and so I've been running a 5K most Saturday mornings while she does her workout class. Because I'm not a big fan of the class and instruction and all of the ups and downs and stuff. So I'd rather just get on a treadmill and run.
What's the class? What does it teach you?
It's like a like not. I don't know what to call it, I guess, because I want to just say jazzercise kind of style thing, but
like
I know that that's wrong. Yeah, it's like an aerobics.
There's
a workout mat. You follow the instructor. It's similar to how a spin class kind of runs, but there's no bikes involved. But for me, I'd rather just get on a treadmill and run. So I was listening to you and Jim with Amicus to finish out my run this weekend. So hats off to you. And folks, you can check out past episodes of Amicus. You can check out past shows of all Civic Media programs. By heading over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/shows will get you a list of all of our excellent programming across the network. You can check out past episodes if you didn't get a chance to tune in live. And it's about that time as well, Greg. One of the things I had to do a lot this weekend is it's muddy paw season.
Oh,
we're about to warm up into the temperatures, and I know that you've got Maybelle. I've got two furry friends of my own, both Remy and Aurora. Aurora, more than Remy, likes to find where the mud piles are and dance around in them. So we had a shower yesterday morning. We just take her down to the basement shower because after the paws are muddy, it's just easier than paper towels and wet wipes and stuff. But we're going to, folks, have some warming temperatures throughout the state of Wisconsin this week. So it is officially muddy paw season. So if you've got a furry four-legged friend, you're going to want to make sure that you're keeping an eye on those temperatures because it could be getting up into the 40s and 50s depending on where you are. I know Pat likes to do a quick look at the bus stop temperatures. So let's do a run through them. Up in Eau Claire, where Pat is not currently, but normally, just outside, I guess, in Chippewa Falls, it's 41 degrees in Eau Claire, 39 degrees in Wausau. We've got 38 degrees at the bus stop this morning in Park Falls. Up in Superior, a balmy 41 on the shores of Lake Superior. Down here in Madison, we're looking at 42 degrees right now. Oshkosh, you got 40. Green Bay, 43. And down where Greg is in the Milwaukee, Kenosha area. Milwaukee's sitting at 39, and Kenosha is sitting at 41 this morning. So that's a quick snapshot of your bus stop temperatures around the state of Wisconsin this morning. Folks, again, you're listening to me, Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow. We're doing Civic Media Mornings here on this Monday morning, February 24th. Greg and I have a very exciting show for you. We're going to be joined by Dr. Lyerly coming up at 6:30, as well as Sean Fetaplace and Corrine Hendrickson from Main Street Alliance doing some small business advocacy in our nation's capital this week. So looking forward to having both of those conversations. If you'd like to join us on the phone lines, share your thoughts, you can call or text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text all show long. We're here with you this morning until 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have some excellent guest hosts filling in for Pat until he returns coming up this Friday. But we've got some fun, exciting sports news as well. We're going to get into those headlines. We've got a number of other developing stories here in the state of Wisconsin over the past couple days. Looking forward to talking with Dr. Lyerly about the how would you put it, Greg, I guess, for a crowd, larger than expected crowd sizes at some town halls here in the state of Wisconsin, gathering some national attention. Mm-hmm. So going to be talking with Dr. Lyerly about that as well. Did not watch a whole lot of it myself, but the Conservative Political Action Committee, or CPAC, has been taking place over the weekends, and Dr. Lyerly's got some thoughts there, so we're going to dive into those with Dr. Lyerly coming up at 6:30. You're going to want to stay tuned to Civic Media all day long, because we've got some excellent programming coming for you up on the Earl Ingram Show. Earl's going to be sitting down with Reggie Jackson, an historian, talking about the accomplishments of Black Americans throughout history and what they've contributed for the betterment of our entire nation. So very excited for that conversation. Going to be underway on the Earl Ingram Show coming up this morning at 8 a.m. Reggie Jackson joining Earl. And then later throughout the day, we've got an excellent conversation coming up for you with the impact of the National Institute of Health layoffs that the second Trump administration has been implementing, what those are going to mean for us here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's going to be a very powerful conversation. So you're going to want to tune into the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, 3 p.m., for learning more about what those cuts at the NIH are going to mean for us here in our state. Greg, I know you had some work days, you had some off days this mm-hmm. weekend. Did you catch any of the Wisconsin sports? Because the big one for me, I can't decide if the bigger stories are coming out of the Brewers right now or the Bucks, because I'm loving them both.
Well, the Bucks, I have not been catching up on. I let Dan Schaefer, I let our Matinee on Air sports guys on Thursday catch me up on those news stories. Was catching up, keeping up on the sports coming out of Arizona. Spring training, baby.
A good one to start off spring training. Win over the Reds on Saturday.
And then
not so great yesterday. It looked like the bats maybe got left at the training facility or something. Yeah. They didn't quite make it to the field.
Yeah.
So the Brewers winning in a walk-off home run by Vinny Capra against the Reds on Saturday, losing to the Colorado Rockies yesterday, 6-1, falling to the Rockies in the second game. So 1-1 in spring training for the Brewers. The Bucks are also on a little bit of a four-game win streak, but we can dive into that and some more Wisconsin headlines. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning, February 24th. You're going to want to stay tuned because we got a great show in store for you. Sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good day, sunshine. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. My name's Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning, February 24th. We got Greg Bach on the board, and you can join us on the phone lines or the text line, 855-752-4842. You can call or text all show long. We are here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Whether you're getting ready or already at work, whatever it is you're doing throughout your morning routine, glad to have you with us here on this Monday morning. As we were talking about the sports updates over the weekend, Milwaukee Brewers kicking off spring training, officially underway in Arizona. Looking forward to seeing how the crew does. Unfortunately, already Greg, it's a good thing baseball is a long, long season because we've got two injuries we're keeping an eye on for the Brew Crew out there in the Southwest. But Blake Perkins, outfielder, took a foul ball off his shin, and we've got a pitcher. JB, I don't want to butcher your last name, but one of our pitchers is dealing with a lat or arm issue. So we're gonna be interested to see how the crew can stay healthy, but going to hopefully shake off that loss against Colorado, hone more of that offense that they had against Cincinnati to kick off spring training on Saturday, going forward with the spring training games underway. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Miami Heat last night at the Pfizer Forum, pulling that one out 120-113. Unfortunately, not the case for the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team. The Badgers falling to Oregon over the weekend.
It's Oregon.
Did I do it right? It's Oregon, right? It's Oregon. Oregon is the city here. See, it
you throws me don't off. Don't try so hard to say Oregon. Just say Oregon, man. This is Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah.
It's Oregon.
Well,
man.
The Badgers fell to Oregon this weekend in overtime, 77-73. So hopefully they can shake off that Big Ten loss. They're going to be hosting the Washington Huskies coming up tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. So hopefully they can bounce back from that overtime loss to the Ducks over the weekend. And Greg, 59 days until the NFL draft comes to Wisconsin. We've got the Green Bay area getting ready. The NFL coming to town. The league's biggest night outside of the Super Bowl, and you know the opening and pretty much every week of the regular season. their biggest spring,
and the Pro Bowl, yeah, and that one off week in December.
I would argue, I think the draft beats the Pro Bowl at least.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's definitely it's a huge thing for the city of Green Bay to be hosting.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to that. But 59 days away before the NFL season kind of quote unquote gets back into the headlines, the limelight, all of the fun stuff. So that's coming up between now and then. Green Bay is going to host a different championship, though. Greg, have you heard about what's coming to Green Bay coming up at the beginning of next month?
Is it like a disc golf thing or like a some hippie?
It is not a
dippy
disc golf thing.
Okay.
It's a lot more. It strikes right to the core of us as Wisconsinites.
Is it an eating contest?
It's food related. It's food related. The U.S. Championship Cheese Contest is coming back. It's a every other year, so biannual in the sense of every other year, not twice a year.
Yeah.
Every other year held at the Reich Expo Center in Green Bay. This year it's going to be held March 4th to 5th. So the contest is going to have more than 2,400 entries in 117 classes of cheese from 31 different states. And so the preliminary judging from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. This in a piece written up by our friends over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about the U.S. Championship cheese contests. That's just a lot of C's right there.
Yeah.
But that's coming to the Green Bay area between now and draft day. We've got some championship cheese contenders. So hopefully we've got our excellent cheesemakers here in the state of Wisconsin that are going to be able to bring home some golds.
Home the cheddar.
Yeah, bring home the cheddar. There you go. Bringing home the cheddar at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest coming to the Green Bay area at the beginning of next month. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning. Got Greg on the board. And we're going to be joined coming up here just after 6:30 by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Pat's regularly scheduled Monday morning guest, the doctor gracing us with her presence. We're going to be talking about some of the instances that went on at CPAC over the weekend, as well as a clamoring, it seems, of folks that aren't too pleased with what's going on with these Doge cuts and the quote-unquote savings. We're seeing congressmen in typically very conservative districts seeing an outcry at town halls they hosted last week. I think it is pretty interesting. The two congressmen that did hold town halls, there were a couple, Greg, that simply didn't. And they were on recess. Congress, the House was not in session last week. That's why we had a lot of our members back in their districts holding things like town halls. Very typical for a congressperson to come back to the district when Congress is not in session to hear from constituents. I'm interested to know, though, after last week's showing, if there are going to be members of the Wisconsin congressional delegation that are continuing to host town halls like this, if they're brave enough. Because I don't know if they loved the crowds, Greg. I think it was not something that they were necessarily expecting. I think if they weren't expecting it, that's a little shocking and a little bit of an indictment itself. But it's going to be interesting to see which members of Congress, both here in Wisconsin and around the country, continue to host town halls like this, because this is the way, between now and the midterms coming up next November, of how citizens can interact and speak with their elected officials to Congress about how they feel they're doing a good of a job or not good of a job. And so, going to dive into that topic. Pretty interesting reactions from one of the members of Congress here in Wisconsin. Kind of a little diametrically opposed thoughts of what he said at the town hall. So we're going to dive into those comments and more with Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up here on the other side. But if you've got thoughts, if you want to share those thoughts, you can comment on our live streams. We're live on YouTube and X this morning, formerly known as Twitter. But you can also call the show at any time, 855-752-4842. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers. We're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up next. Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. That song can mean one thing and one thing only. I'm just going to relinquish the host mic here. It is now once again Bach in the Dock. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, how are you doing on this Monday morning, Doctor?
You know, I was feeling tired until I heard that music. And then I was like, yes, let's go Monday. Come on.
I mean, I'm sorry to tell you this, Dr. Lyerly, and to tell you, Luke, I failed in one job. I never did put together a official theme song for Bach and the Duck. So I just go back to, what I do is I use the theme song for the in-team tournament cup, whatever that was in basketball. I'm just going to pull it up really quick here. It's a really quick song I made up. That's really fun. And just,
are we about to get Rickrolled?
Bach and the Duck.
Why is it a clown show? I don't understand that.
Because we're in America in 2025, Luke. It's always a clown show.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I should have known that. I should have known that answer. My bad. My apologies. True.
Honestly, though, I am feeling better. I mean, amidst all of the chaos. I know.
That just made my stomach hurt.
No. Just wait. So things were really, really heavy. Things are really, really heavy in the world. Very heavy. But we're starting to see these like little moments of light, these little cracks in the pavement that give me hope. And those cracks happened just south of where I live, in Glenn Grothman's district and in Scott Fitzgerald's district. And to see those town halls on national media repeatedly, people were sending them to me. And I said, do you know how red those districts are? This is West Bend, Wisconsin, people. But Wisconsinites, we're special. We're sharing our voices. We're telling people that this is not working. And the same pressure is happening up in the 8th Congressional District, where Tony Weed, our new congressman, has failed to do anything in public. We're keeping a countdown timer on how many days he's gone without holding any sort of a town hall. So
can we get you a chalkboard so that you can write it up behind, and we can hang it behind you when you appear then as well. And we can have the chalkboard of how many days it's been.
It's true. Yes. We also have a ticker for how many more days it's going to be until the end of his term, because we have a pretty good idea of exactly what day that's going to be.
Okay, there we go. So a couple of different countdowns running. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. That's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning. If you'd like to join us on the phone lines, you can call or text 855-752-4842, or you can leave a comment on our live streams. Dr. Lyerly, as you pointed out, those town halls, some of them overflowing. There was room for about 100 constituents at Congressman Glenn Grothman's town hall held last week, and about 50% overfill. They had at least 150 people, according to reporting that I saw over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That usually means that they were not planning for a crowd that size. That if you've got overflow falling out about 50% more than the room you booked to hold the town hall, you weren't expecting that many people to show up. And it is very interesting to see here in the state of Wisconsin, these districts that are still very, very safe districts for these members of Congress, to see constituents coming out and saying, hey, hold the phone. Like, what are you talking about that Elon Musk is sending out emails to every government employee saying, hey, describe five things for me about what you did last week? It was essentially the Office Space meme, which is a funny movie, but terrible in practice of what would you say you do here? And you've got Elon Musk sending that as a, without any other better way to describe it, an intimidation tactic to our federal employees. If you don't respond to this email, I'm going to consider that a termination. But then you see the divides even in some of the different departments of our federal government saying the chain of command is not Elon Musk. Do not be responding to those emails. And you're putting our federal workers then all of a sudden in a impossible position of deciding about whether to listen to either. I saw both the FBI, Kash Patel was saying, hey, do not respond to Elon Musk's email. Pete Hegseth at the Department of Defense was saying, do not respond to that email. But as a federal worker, what are you supposed to do then? Because if you don't respond, you're on the chopping block from Elon. But if you do respond, then you've got your actual in-department chain of command, the rank and responsibility aspect, telling you not to. What are federal employees supposed to do?
Well, these are those cracks in the pavement that we knew we were going to see. I mean, we know that Elon Musk does not play well in the sandbox with other people. And we saw him do this. Remember when he came into Twitter, when he bought Twitter? We saw him do exactly this at Twitter. He just took a hacksaw to everything. And we saw what the result was. So it's the same thing happening in the government on a much bigger scale right now. And, you know, going back to the town halls, this town hall for Glenn Grothman was in the town of Algoma, not even the city of Algoma in Kewaunee County, but the town of Algoma, which I believe is in Winnebago County. This is a little tiny town. And when he was challenged by some of his constituents about Elon Musk and these like really ridiculous things that he's doing, he literally said to his constituent, I don't believe it. I don't believe
it. Well, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, I have a very, very quick clip here of Scott Fitzgerald at his town hall. We got from Channel 4 News because they were there at it.
There is no law and there is no order and there are no consequences. Nobody is held to account.
The end result of the fraud and abuse that has been discovered already.
I mean, listen to that. They're not, they don't even let him finish. Like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
And that was the interesting part from this, again, reading from a story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Hope Carnop. At the event in West Bend, Fitzgerald said that he had not been briefed on Doge, but he said Musk's efforts to find waste and fraud are working. How can you simultaneously not be briefed on the efforts to find, quote unquote, fraud and waste, but then say that it's working as well? They're trying to have their cake and eat it as well, Dr. Lyerly. It seems like it is some of these cracks in the pavement, as how you referred to them, seem to be showing a little bit more through here in Wisconsin this past week.
Well, they've been armed with talking points. And those are the talking points that tend to work with that faithful audience that already believes them. But the audience of skeptics and the audience of independent people, they see through it. And we saw this also in Western Wisconsin, where I believe it was the Wisconsin Farmers Union held a town hall and invited everyone. And you know who didn't show up? Any Republican. None of the Republicans had the guts to show up and answer these questions because they don't have real answers. All they have are artificial talking points that were manufactured to keep people at bay.
Well, and yeah, and go ahead, I was just saying another interesting thing about the Fitzgerald thing is he says, I wasn't briefed on DOGE. Great, you're a congressman. Also, they found fraud, even though I don't know anything about it. And then he also has the temerity to say later on in that, in a reporting saying, at that event saying, well, when it's all done, Elon will come to the Congress and we'll ask him a lot of hard questions. No, he won't. Mm-hmm. He will not. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. He doesn't work for you. So why do you think he'd walk into that room and actually report and be expected to give like real details, not just a website where you can say, we found $8 billion today. How's
right.
That?
He doesn't work for you, as your son told President Trump in the Oval Office just a week or two ago.
Yeah, that was an interesting. I was gone for that one, but that was one thing that I did see while I was away. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, folks, remember. Sorry, Luke, go ahead.
No, you're good. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. We are joined here on this Monday morning by Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Greg Bach. We are holding down the fort until Mr. Kreitlow returns coming up this Friday. But Kristen, it is the cracks in the pavement and the overall turnout that we're seeing at these town halls. Do you believe that we're going to continue to have our members of Congress holding town halls like this, if this is the pushback that they're seeing when it comes to how they, when they're in the districts, are reaching out and engaging with their constituents?
I don't think so. I can't imagine that Scott Fitzgerald went home that night and said, that went great. I can't wait until the next one.
He was probably saying, we're going to do a listening session next time. Questions, if there are any, will be pre-checked, and I will invite all the people who will be in the room, a la Paul Ryan.
Right. This will just continue to increase the division. What we're seeing with Tony Weed up in the 8th is that he's putting these strategic little Facebook posts up there. I was at the airport in Appleton. I was meeting with these people. And he's in all of these safe little spaces to make it look like he's out there. But for the people who are really paying attention, we know that he's not. We know that he's not being held accountable. And increasingly, I think people will continue to see through this. So I would be surprised if we saw a lot of town halls, especially in places like Wisconsin, where Wisconsinites remember our tradition. We may look like a pretty red state right now, but we are the home of the progressive movement. We are the place where we first stood up for workers, where we first were able to institute a state income tax for the people of Wisconsin. This is a place where people don't stand down. We stand up, and we're going to continue to see that.
Well, and it's going to be very interesting to see. I do want to commend both Fitzgerald and Grothman for holding those town halls, but I am concerned that Congressman Stile, Congressman Derek Van Orden, Congressman Tom Tiffany, like, I doubt that we are going to be able to have that venue for Wisconsin voters to go and vocalize or advocate for what their concerns are before their members of Congress after seeing what went down at these two town halls over the last week. And so it is going to be very interesting to see how Wisconsin voters can continue. But I think that it just goes to show as well, pressure like that works. Mm-hmm. When you have the opportunity to go and show your either opposition or support, protest or advocacy, there are great things that can come of those things. So I'm really hoping that it's not just that Congressman Fitzgerald and Congressman Grothman go and or like, oh, that was a terrible experience. I didn't really like those crowds. I'm not going to host. Hopefully, every single vote that they go forward with throughout this budgeting process, throughout the oversight of DOGE, those constituents are in the back of their mind. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we need to have Wisconsinites vocalizing their support or opposition and getting involved in the process, because that is what is ultimately needed. We need to get more people involved in the process. Really looking forward to my conversation coming up just after 7 o'clock with Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance and Kareen Hendrickson, one of the members of that organization, around the lobbying and the advocacy that they are doing in Washington this week around that tax process, because it's not just there's no one cure. There's no silver bullet. We got to get involved. We got to be able to engage with our elected officials and advocate for how we want to see our government run. And for some people, it seems like Elon Musk with a chainsaw is the way that they want to see their government run. For a lot of us, not the case. And yeah. So, Dr. Lyerly, just a couple of minutes left here in this segment, but I know that you were also watching some of those events unfold at CPAC over the weekend and some of the scary aspects that we've got people thinking that CPAC's not going far enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we also, I mean, if you haven't heard about the threat, there was a threat issued by MAGA at this event that was, it's called the Principles First Summit. And it is meant for conservatives who are principled to help pull the party back together and to promote principled leadership. Well, a threat was issued, a bomb threat, across the country, really, and it was targeted at folks who were stepping up and their family members. This is really scary stuff. This is MAGA against principled conservatives. This is happening on the right, and that's really, really scary stuff.
And it reminded me of, I believe, back in 2017 or 2018, when there was the concerns around male pipe bombs. There were a lot of people on high alert, elected officials in both parties, because there were extreme individuals out there using threats of violence through bombs to go against their political opponents. And so I'm really hoping that we don't return to headlines like that becoming a regular, but it is important to be discussing them. Folks, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow, joined by Dr. Lyerly and Greg. And coming up next, we've got today's history lesson.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around.
On this day in 1969, Johnny Cash records Johnny Cash at San Quentin. This one, Folsom County Blues.
It's so good.
It's got one of the greatest lyrics in all of music history, period.
Do you always try to sing that really low part? Because I always do, and I know I never can.
I can do it in the morning. I'm Johnny Cash.
But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
There it is. There it is. And that's, it is interesting to me. I was never a huge, huge country music fan. Mm-hmm. But just knowing history, knowing music history, the things that Johnny Cash stood for, what country music once was, and the probably animosity that somebody like Johnny Cash would receive today for speaking out on his views. It's an interesting aspect when you look at the history of music, and that's why it's so important to be learning of those things, because it doesn't just go for granted. Like, it shouldn't be taken for granted. So if you don't know enough about Johnny Cash, I encourage you looking into more, because I'm no expert by any means, but all of the things that I've learned always amaze me.
What do you want to know?
There you go, Greg. There we go. We got a side spin-off of Bach and the Doc talk music there, too.
Well, and the way it's all intertwined, you know, I don't know if you've seen A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan story, but Johnny Cash is there.
Yep.
Johnny Cash is everywhere. If you think that these, like, country collaborations that we're hearing on the radio now are new, no. They were happening way back then. All those folks knew each other and were influencing each other, and Johnny Cash was a huge part of that.
Yeah, I still have not yet to get to watch that one, but it is on my list, A Complete Unknown, on the list to watch. But that 1969, today in 1969, Johnny Cash recording that one. Over the weekend, we had one of my favorites, and I'm not going to say I'm biased just because it is a birthday that I share with this one. But one of the greatest sports moments of all time had its 45th anniversary this past Saturday. Greg, if you can play it for the people.
The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigiletinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
That is the U.S. win over the Soviet Union on February 22nd, 1980, celebrating its 45th anniversary, the Miracle on Ice, over this past weekend. So I didn't want to miss the opportunity to share that one with the listening audience. I know not necessarily music history, but a big one that I love. Probably one of my favorite moments in sports history, and the movie Miracle commemorating that 1980s team.
Mark Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Wisconsin women's hockey coach, legendary, amazing. That whole team, incredible. I got to tell you, I remember that day. I am a little bit older than you, Luke. I was like alive and sentient, and I remember
I was not.
That day. I remember honestly watching that game and then going over to the closet and getting our American flag out. It was in the closet because it was February, and like waving it because I was so proud. So yeah, that's a really great memory.
I was coming two.
There you go. See, yeah, it was fantastic though. It was a moment that transcended sports. It's just iconic. And so it's 45th anniversary taking place over the weekend. We've got George Thorogood turning 75 today.
Oh.
One of the most iconic and distinctive guitar sounds ever.
And this, who do you love? And yes, one of the most iconic ones was born this day in 1950. We've also got another birthday, Sammy Kershaw, turning 67 today, February 24th. On this day in 1973, we then had Roberta Flack's number one hit for the first time in 5 weeks and a longer run than any other song of 1973 with Killing Me Softly with his song.
And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my face.
Her voice is like velvet.
Yep. It's like butter.
Just like butter. And wrapping up on this day in 1981, Rick Springfield released his breakthrough album, Working Class Dog, with this number one hit.
This was my first concert. My mom took me. I'm pretty sure she went for her, though, and not for me.
That's a fun one then, though. Getting to take you for your first concert, but also not being subject to like my dad was with Fall Out Boy, where he had no interest in going, but, you know, was just doing it for me.
That's so interesting. My parents gave me Metallica tickets in 1992. I was like 13. They're like, you're fine. Go on. Go ahead.
My older brother ended up being the only one. My dad had tickets, but then trusted my older brother enough to watch over me, and I still almost got lost in the mosh pit. So it was that was an interesting concert.
Adorable.
Folks, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name's Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Kreitlow on this Monday morning. Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much for joining us and taking a little time out of your busy schedule. You're going to be back tomorrow with Dan.
I sure will. It's so great to start the week with you, Luke.
Fantastic.
Love to see you too, Greg.
See ya.
Folks, we're going to be joined by Main Street Alliance coming up, talking about the tax break.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.